Hallelujah. Good morning, family. Good morning, everybody joining us this morning for our special Good Friday service. My name is Pastor Pascal, and I welcome all of you to this glorious time that we're going to spend in the presence of the Lord. And you know what? I'm so excited that the Lord has allowed all of us to be at home, you know, on this day. Usually when we have our Good Friday services, some people can attend due to work. But now we are all at home and we're all going to be able to enjoy and be part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Well, before we go any further, I just want to encourage you to call your family as we do every single morning. Today is Good Friday. It's a special service. It's going to run for 1 hour, you know, from 10 until 11. Hallelujah. So you want to be ready for it. Tell your family to come and join us. And if you are one of our pastors, why don't you call, you know, some of your members and tell them that it's time to tune in. They have to be a part of it right now. Hallelujah. God has a plan. God has something great that he's going to do with us in this service this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. All right. So while we are waiting on the other members, you know, to join us. And by the way, I know I don't always get a chance to acknowledge you guys as you are joining in, you know, due to some of our technicalities. But I just want you to know that I see all of you, and I'm so blessed by each and every one of you. Each and every one of you that, you know, join us every morning to attend the daily oil, you know, is such a blessing. And this special Friday, I want to thank all of you for joining, all of you for tuning in. May God bless you richly. This morning, we are worshiping the King with a song that says that, you know, you are here, and then, you know, we worship you, you know, way maker, miracle worker, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. You know, the other part of the song says, even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. And I want you to know that God is working in the midst of whatever we are going through right now as a nation and as a continent and as a world. He is working. Hallelujah. So I want you to worship him with faith this morning, believing that in the darkness, the light is shining. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop.
Do you believe it? God never stops working. No matter what we are going through, he is always working. Hallelujah.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Never stop working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh, come on, worship from your hearts, declare it.
Promise keep light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are.
Hallelujah. That is who he is. He is a way maker. He is making a way where there seems to be no way right now. Hallelujah. That is who our God is. And that is the God we worship this morning. The God who can make a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus is above
diseases. The name of Jesus is above enemies. The name of Jesus is above confusion. Ah, Lord, we worship you right now.
That is who you are. That is who.
Oh, yes, Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you.
Jesus.
Kale Madaraja. Ah, Lord, we receive your presence. Right now, the presence of the Lord is filling this place. Pouring exactly where you are. The presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for this glorious time that we've had in your presence. Thank you for blessing us with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you for ministering to us this morning, Lord. And at this time, as we worship you, I thank you, Father, that you have a word for us on this Good Friday, Lord. You have a great word to bless us, to heal us, to direct us, to save us. We thank you, Father. Have your way in our life this morning. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You are all welcome once again to our Daily Oil program. This is a very special one, like I said earlier. This morning especially, we're going to, as well as far, apart from sharing, partaking on the word, we're also going to partake of the communion. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to prepare your communion elements right now. Wherever you are watching from, you know, get your juice ready. And also get your bread ready, because at the end of the service, we're going to partake of the communion together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, well, today is day 5 of our daily oil. And as I said earlier, it's just a special program that we're having, but it's still part of the morning devotions. It's just that this is going to be a service devotion, not just a morning devotion. Hallelujah. So this morning we're talking about oil for transformation. Hallelujah. The power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit that can transform our lives forever. And I want to go straight into the word of the Lord this morning. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 6. The Bible says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. Hallelujah. The Bible says that you will be changed into a different person when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Throughout the week, we've been learning about what happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Oil for salvation, oil for revelation. You know, we've learned so many different types of aspects of the Holy Spirit. But this morning, we're going to see how the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person can bring change. Hallelujah. You know, all of us wants to change. I believe each one of us has things in our lives that, you know, we want to see change. You know, certain habits that you want to see totally remove out of your life, you know, and certain situations, even circumstances in our lives that we want to see change. I know that many people that are struggling with certain areas of their lives, you know, that I wish this could get out of my life. I wish these habits could stop. I wish this addiction could stop. I wish I could become more courageous. I wish I could be more outspoken. I wish, you know, all those things. The good news this morning, people of God, is that when the Holy Ghost comes on your life, He empowers you to change. The change I'm talking about this morning is not the change that comes as a result of, you know, motivational speaking. I'm not downplaying motivational speaking, but we've all have been motivated once and then the next day we're demotivated again. You know what I'm saying? So motivation is good, but it's not permanent. The change that the Holy Ghost brings is not a temporary change. It's a permanent change. Hallelujah. Once the Holy Ghost changes you, that change will be forever. And you and I have come across people. I mean, first of all, who are Christians? Let me tell you something. Christians are changed people who change other people. That's a Christian. A Christian is a person that has been changed. It is not a title we wear. It's a transformation that has taken place in the life of a person. And I'm sure you've come across a person you knew before and that became a Christian. And, you know, you could see, you know, this guy is different. No, this guy is different. Her talk has changed. Her behavior has changed. Like, you can see the change in the person. And why am I even going far? Look at your own life. Look at the changes that have taken place ever since you became a Christian. You can look at your life today and see that indeed there has been changes. And how do you think all these changes have taken place? It's not by your own strength. It's not by the strength of your parents. It's not by their rebukes. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God that comes and enables us and allows us to experience changes in many areas of our lives. Hallelujah. I believe that before this preaching is over, something is going to change in your heart. Before this preaching is over, something is going to change in your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, you know, the Holy Ghost works in us to change us and to change other people through us. That's what Christianity is all about. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You know, so you are no more dark, you are now light. And through your light, other people get to see the light. That's all it is. It's that transformation that starts taking place. The change that starts taking place in your nature and in your character. Hallelujah. And now, you know, some changes are easier than others. Certain things that the Holy Ghost had to change in your nature or in you didn't take a lot. I mean, it just happened. But then there are other changes that are really hard. Some changes are painful. And you know, let me tell you something this morning. Some changes are actually deadly. In other words, for a certain change to take place, something has to die. Sometimes somebody has to die. And that is what we're talking about this morning. Then there was a need for such a change in this world. The change was so needed that it was not just about something dropping off. Somebody had to die for the change that God wanted to see happen, take place. And that's what we talk about this Good Friday. This Good Friday is the biggest change that ever took place on earth. The biggest change that ever took place in the history of humanity was not just hard. It was not just painful. It was deadly. It cost the life of Jesus Christ for you and I to be who we are today. And I want to take you quickly through three different major changes that Jesus had to go through before the ultimate change, which is the one we are celebrating this morning. And I believe that because Jesus Christ is our model, what happened with Jesus is basically a replica of what is going to happen for you and for me. You know, we follow Jesus. He is our model. He is our leader. You know, the Bible says that we should follow him. We should carry our crosses and follow him. So it means that if you want to know the changes, the most likely changes that are to take place in your life, just look at the life of Jesus. And you will see changes that the Holy Ghost at some point in your life is going to bring. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at three changes. Number one, how the Holy Ghost turned God into man. That is the first change that happened to Jesus. The second change, how the Holy Ghost turned the Son of Man into the Son of God. So from God to man, then from man to God. Then we're going to see the third change, how the Holy Ghost turned the Son of God into the Savior of man. That's the third change. In fact, there's a fourth one we're going to probably start on Sunday. So let's immediately just go straight into it and start exploring these changes, because these changes actually happens to you all the time. It's part of what the Holy Ghost does in your life and in my life. Brothers and sisters, I really want this Good Friday to be practical for you. You know, you've attended many services of Good Fridays where you learn about how Jesus died. So you don't need to know about it. You already know about that. What you need to know this morning is how does that apply to your life today? How is that connected to your life? And I want to show you something amazing here. Let's start with the first change. The change from God to man. I call that the humility change. The humility change. We're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. The Bible says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, listen, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above other names. Hallelujah. So we see here that Jesus was not man. Jesus was God, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Though he was God, he took on the nature of man. That is the first dimension of change that Jesus had to go through before he could save you and me. He needed to abandon the glory he had in heaven, all the angels that were serving him, all those beautiful things that he had up there. He needed to abandon all those positions and choose to come down here on earth. Actually, he got demoted. He left everything and came down here. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you're asking yourself, how is the Holy Ghost involved in this? Pastor Pascal, I knew about this, but how is the Holy Ghost involved in this? We find that in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. The Bible says, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. So Mary also didn't understand, how can God become man? How will this happen? The angel answered by telling her, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost was able to move God to man. And Philippians tells us that it was an act of humility. God had to humble himself. There is a song we used to sing that, humble yourself by the side of the Lord, he will lift you up. You see, the fact of the matter is that only a humble person will experience a stage of elevation. Everybody wants to be elevated. Even you who are listening to me right now, everybody wants to be promoted. Everybody wants to do well in life. Everybody wants to see success. Everybody wants that. But the Bible says, unless a grain of kernel falls to the ground and dies, nothing will happen. You and I have to know that the way up is down. So God had to first, before he could elevate Jesus, gave him the name that is high above every name, he had to first take him down, humble him. And we see here that it is the Holy Ghost that did that job of humbling Jesus, making him to take the nature of a man. Brothers and sisters, your promotion is not far. Your elevation is not far. You are just one step of humility away. All you need is to humble yourself. But now, what it takes for you to humble yourself, sometimes, even when we don't have, we are still proud. Many of the people that are watching me right now, you know that you don't have what you need to have, but there is still pride in us. I have seen people being proud with nothing. Just because we are human, we are proud. So the job of the Holy Ghost, the same way the Holy Ghost was needed to humble Jesus, you need the Holy Ghost to humble you. The Holy Ghost wants to work in you humility. Humility. That you don't think too highly of yourself. You can come down. Many Christians can't wash toilet in the church. They are too high. They can't clean the chairs. Their husband can't talk to them. Many people listening to me right now, your parents can't talk to you. You are too high. You are too high that even God can't reach you. My brother, please calm down. My sister, please calm down. Allow the Holy Ghost to humble you. Allow the Holy Ghost to take you through a journey that will look painful in the beginning, but that will end up with a high elevation. And do you know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low. So you can be brought low by yourself, or you can be brought low by your pride. Another verse says that pride goes before the fall. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that the Bible puts humility with a spirit. Now, it's a spirit, a humble spirit. So you therefore see that humility is a work of a spirit in you. And whose spirit do you think is making you humble? It's the Holy Spirit. A humble spirit. A humble spirit. So it is the work of the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that made Jesus humble, that caused him to come down and enter a virgin's womb. I mean, God, the creator of the universe, including the very same womb, he came again and humbled himself, entered that womb and allowed himself to be there for 9 good months and allowed himself to come out of that womb and be just like a normal person. And smell, you know, the poo-poo of sheep and goats. Grow up like everybody. What a humility. And then he accepted to be baptized by John the Baptist, whom he created. Can we be humbled? Can we be humbled? Many of us could be high in ministry today if we were humble. Many of us could be high in society today if we were humble. Many of you could be high even in your company where you are working if you were just a bit humble. The Bible says a man's pride will bring him low. You are not meant to be low. The Bible says that you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. Why is it that so many believers are underneath? And are not even beneath, they are underneath. Why? It's the pride. The pride of life. Rebellion. Many believers, you can't talk to them. They rebel against the pastor. They are fighting. It's always difficult. Sometimes some pastors can't even correct their members. They have to always preach things that the members want to hear. Because if you say this, people will get offended and they will leave. They are not humble to receive the word. They can't receive the milk like a humble baby. They can't. I pray for you this morning as you are attending this special Good Friday service. Allow the Holy Ghost to work humility in you. Hallelujah. Humility is one of the greatest virtues in the kingdom. And humility has become one of the scariest virtues in the kingdom. Because of this Bless Me class I was talking about, everybody wants something. So everybody is proud. Everybody wants to be on top. Nobody wants to be a servant. But my Bible says, whoever wants to be great among you must become a servant. So God is expecting us to be able to humble ourselves. Some people are so proud, even when they pray, they can't kneel down. I'm not saying that kneeling down is the only posture that God answers. But you know, let me tell you something. Kneeling down is a sign of humility. And I remember a time in my life where I didn't think it was necessary for me to kneel down. But the more you become humble, the more you see the need to kneel down before your maker. And humble yourself before him and even fall flat before him. I pray that that humility will be restored in the body of Christ. That spirit of humility will be restored in your life today. On this Good Friday, remember that Jesus didn't just end up on the cross. He first left heaven. He left the place of glory where he was. He had everything, but he left it all. How many people today God can cause you to leave everything? How many people today can allow God to tell them, leave this? Many Christians are fighting arguments that even going to court, they can't let go. They keep pushing pushing and pushing and pushing. That's why the rate of divorces that you have in the world is now found in the church. Because nobody is humble to say, I'm sorry. Nobody is humble to say, forgive me. Nobody is humble enough to say, I made a mistake. Everybody is fighting for their rights. This is why the body of Christ is struggling. On Sunday, last Sunday, we learned that, you know, wives submit to your husband just like Christ submit to the church. But I'm sorry to say that, you know, some churches today are not submitted to Christ. They're not submitted. They don't preach what he said they should preach. He said, go and save the world. They said, no, we don't want to go. There's no submission. I mean, let's face it. Submission means you do what you are told to do. Now, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the, you know, to every creature. The church has decided to stay. So there's a lack of submission. The lack of submission in the members is even reflected in the church. I pray today that God is going to visit us in this Good Friday with a spirit of humility. Father, I want to be humble. I want to be humble. I pray that you will forgive me from all form of pride in my heart, and that you will forgive us as a church, forgive us as a people that will come. Even this coronavirus is coming to humble us, to humble us, to see, humble the nations of the world, to show you that God can keep you in your house the whole month and you won't go anywhere. He has come to humble us. Isn't it true that the word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face. God expects us to humble ourselves. God expects us to walk in humility. And the word says that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, at the right time, he will lift us up. Hallelujah. I see God lifting you up. Hallelujah. What are some of the ways through which the Holy Ghost is going to humble you? Through rejection. The Holy Ghost will allow you to go through rejection sometimes. The Holy Ghost will allow you to go through accusation sometimes. The Holy Ghost will allow you to go sometimes through failures, small beginnings, hallelujah, confusions, and sometimes even lack, especially in the beginning of your journey with Him. You will not see a lot of glitter. It will be dry because He's trying to make you humble. God will allow people to say things about you that are not true. And you know they are not true. But he will allow it. He allowed people to accuse Jesus of things he never said. He allowed people to reject Jesus. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own rejected him. All of that is designed to keep you humble. Don't think God has abandoned you. Sometimes God allows you to go through those journeys so that they can kill the pride in you. And cause you to become humble, sensitive, and most importantly, obedient. Hallelujah. Let's quickly move to stage two. After Jesus moved from God to man, when you humble yourself, the natural thing that happened is that God lifts you up. Hallelujah. So Jesus went from God to man, then from Son of Man to Son of God. Hallelujah. He began to rise again. Praise the name of Jesus. Now we see in the book of John chapter 10 verse 32 to 33. Jesus is talking to the Jews. He said, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You see, they started hearing Jesus say things like, I am the Son of God. And they couldn't take it because for them, Jesus is a man. How can he claim to be God? What does that mean? It means another transformation took place and they were not aware of it. For them, Jesus was just a man like them. But what they didn't realize was that the same God, the same Holy Ghost that brought Jesus from God to man was getting ready to take him from man back to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I feel the power of God in this place. Now, Luke 13, verse 55 to 57, the Bible says, isn't this the carpenter's son? They are not complaining. Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers and sisters, aren't his brothers James, John, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town and in his own home. Hallelujah. So we see here that Jesus was now changed again. And people were struggling with this new Jesus. Isn't this the son of the carpenter? And that is what starts happening when God promotes you, my friend. When God promotes you by the Holy Spirit, people can't recognize you. People start saying, isn't this the guy who used to go to work here? Isn't this the guy who used to be in grade 12 with me? Isn't this the guy who used to go and fetch water by the river? Isn't this the guy who used to sit by the roadside and ask for a lift? Is he the one driving the latest Mercedes? You are driving that Mercedes Benz in the name of Jesus. Like, is he the one? Yes. How did that happen? Luke 4 verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus is the one speaking. Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. All the things that these guys were seeing, Jesus is saying, listen, all these things, all these miracles, is because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So the Spirit of the Lord was the game changer in the life of Jesus. Guess what? The Spirit of the Lord will be the game changer in your life. It is the Spirit of the presence of the Holy Ghost that brings that change in you, that changes you into a different man, and people can't recognize you anymore. You become a miracle worker. Hallelujah. I know we are singing that way maker, but many of you are going to become way makers by the power of the Holy Ghost. By your life, many people will turn back to God. Hallelujah. You will make a way to them back to the Father. You will make a way to the solution that they are looking for. You will become like a Moses to somebody. You will part the Red Sea and your people will walk free. Hallelujah. And you know, I want to tell you an interesting thing to show you that the Holy Ghost can bring a promotion in your life from man to God. I'm looking at Genesis 41, verse 38 to 40. The Bible says, so Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Can we find anyone else like this man? And what is the difference between this man and every other man? He is obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Now, Pharaoh is a pagan king, and a pagan king recognized in Joseph the Spirit of God. He said, man, this guy is different from all of us. There is nobody like him among us. And the difference in the life of Joseph was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Pharaoh continued. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I sitting on my throne will take a rank higher than yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you see what brought Joseph to prominence? Do you see what brought Joseph to promotion? The Spirit of God in him. The Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that brought Jesus from man back to God, and people couldn't recognize him. People say, where is this man getting these things? I see people questioning things about you. I see people say, where is he getting this wisdom? How come he's getting it all right all the time? The Spirit of God. That is another change you should trust the Holy Ghost to bring in your life. That you go beyond speaking in tongues to taking charge, just like Joseph. That people look at your life and they say, you know what? Lead us. Can you lead us?
can you guide us? That's another change. No human has the capacity to elevate themselves. John says, no man can receive anything unless it's given to him by heaven. Your labor cannot get you there. Your hard work cannot get you there. My Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You need the power of the Holy Ghost for you to come out of that problem you are in, that level you are in. Jesus, you know, God told the Israelites, you've been on this mountain for too long. Some people have been in the same position for years and years and years. Year in and year out, nothing is changing. And I would not be surprised if somebody watching me right now, listen, the lockdown is normal for you. Like even when the government doesn't decree a lockdown, you are always locked down anyway. You have nowhere to go. Even when you want to go, there's no money to get you there. Like you are usually on a forced lockdown. What is going to get me out of this situation? The power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost that changed the life of Jesus is going to change your life in the name of Jesus. I want you to trust God with me that before this lockdown is over, don't wait for the lockdown to be over. Get things to be over even in the middle of the lockdown. That before this lockdown is over, I will rise in a whole new level. Listen, Joseph did not become prime minister when he entered the palace. He was already a prime minister in the prison. It was just manifested the day he entered in the palace. You see, the things that God does, he doesn't do them the day you come out of your house for the first time after 21 days of lockdown. He's doing them right now in your bedroom. If you are engaging the Holy Ghost right now, you are already getting that ministry you're trusting God for. You are already getting married as you're trusting God for. You're already getting that job as you're trusting God for. Whatever you are trusting God for, it's already happening. It will just manifest when you come out. Thank you, Jesus. Koleba shaka de faconta falagadavis. Brende che akatavaloge, brente che cavolagadavis. Prentachuve, rigadeve. Receive a breakthrough. Receive a change of level by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Let that generational curse be broken out of your life. That people never expected Jesus to become anything that a carpenter. There are many people who don't expect much from you, my friend. But the power of the Holy Ghost is going to change that thing. And they will come out amazed and astonished and say, who is this guy? Is this the same guy we knew? What has happened? God has happened. Hallelujah. God has happened. The power of God has come in that place. The power of God has come in your situation. I want you to start trusting God. As a matter of fact, right where you are now, once you raise your hand and say, Lord, change my story. Lord, change my story. Begin to pray. Ask God to help you. He is the only one. There is a verse I shared with the church a while back. If God doesn't help you, then who can help you? Who can help you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pranche laves. Vreken de galoges. Precachoves. Yes, Lord. Change somebody right now. This is not a show. We are not here to play. We are here to help somebody. We are here to redirect the life of somebody. There is a person watching me right now. Nothing is moving. It is not 2020 that has been an obstacle. 2019 was the same. 2018 was the same. But God has sent me to tell you that there can be an end to this situation. There can be an end to this siege that is breaking you, that is blocking your family, that has brought shame to your house. I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, let there be a change of story. Let there be a change of story. Let there be a change of story. As you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says the only way will be up. He will lift you up. He will lift you up. So you have to be lifted up. Don't expect to remain where you are. As you are humbling yourself, expect God to be faithful to his word and to lift you up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, I give you praise today. I thank you for your blessing. Come on, begin to thank him right where you are in your house. Thank him for making a way. Thank him for breaking that siege, that satanic siege upon your destiny, that satanic siege upon your marital destiny, that satanic siege upon your career, that satanic siege upon your family, that satanic siege upon your future. I bind it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. You are coming out of there. The blood of Jesus was shed on the cross to bring freedom to your life. You can't remain in that place. You can't remain in that place. Break free from that place. I give you thanks, Lord. I give you thanks. Well, let's go now to the third change. Now remember, God, first change, the humility change. God becomes man. Second change, the promotion change. Man becomes God. The third change is the suffering change, where God has to become a savior to man. You know, I wish I could tell you this morning that the moment you are up there, you will always be up there. But I would be lying to you, my brother. Because this changes never stops. Now, Jesus is known. The Bible says that the fame of Jesus spread throughout the Judean country. People know Jesus. There's another verse that says that the name of Jesus had become popular. People knew him. When God lifts you up, people are going to know you. People that didn't know you will start knowing you. You will shine. Your star will shine bright. But I need to tell you something. Elevation is for a purpose. God does not elevate people just for fun. Elevation and a promotion has a purpose hidden beneath. So as Jesus was high up there, the Father came again and said, you know what? This is not all there is. This is not why we came. We came to do something. And that is going to take you to the change. That is going to be a change of suffering. And that is the purpose of this very day, Good Friday. It's all about the sufferings of Jesus. God suffering for the sake of man. That's the change, another change that came out of nowhere. And I want to tell you, one of the reasons why I believe the word of God and one of the reasons why I follow Jesus is because I see some of the humanity of Jesus. At this stage, Jesus didn't just accept it the way you think he would. No, because he understood what it meant. It was a difficult journey. And what is true for Jesus is true for you and me. Let's look at this. You know, this Mel Gibson made a very powerful movie about the Passion of Christ, where he captured those last hours of Jesus, those difficult hours. If you've never watched that movie, I recommend that you watch it. It will really help you understand this last leg of Jesus' journey. Because it's mind-boggling how God will all of a sudden, in the hype of his fame, will descend into this shape. I'm reading from Mark 14, verse 32 down to 36. The Bible says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. Gethsemane was a garden, an olive garden. You see, we also call Gethsemane the place of pressing. Do you know how you get oil? You get oil from olive seeds. And do you know what you need to do before you can extract oil from olive seeds? You have to crush the olive seeds and you have to press them child will come out. Now here is Jesus in Gethsemane, the olive garden, to be pressed. And Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed. Remember the place of crushing. My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Hallelujah. This is the suffering stage, the pressing stage. It's not because you have sinned, brother. It's not because you did something before and you didn't repent. No. It's a stage in your growth and maturity and development. There is no sin Jesus committed. But Jesus found himself in Gethsemane. Everybody watching me right now, you have your Gethsemane. Everybody. If Jesus had a Gethsemane and Jesus was no sinner, you too will have a Gethsemane. And once in a while, you will find yourself in a Gethsemane change. Where you will feel pressed. Where there will be grief. And you will want people to be there with you. You know, the Lord wanted Peter, James, and John to show him support. And unfortunately, your Gethsemane, you face it alone. Nobody can face it with you. You can get people around you to pray with you for comfort, but you will still feel alone. That is what the Lord felt. The Holy Ghost took him through that journey where he prayed and asked for the will of God to change, but God didn't change. Well, do you know why? Because sometimes God is not trying to change the situation. God is trying to change you. At this time, God did not answer that prayer. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, Jesus says, Lord, you always hear me. But here, God did not answer. Because he had something bigger in mind. What am I saying? There are certain prayers you are making, and it seems like God is not hearing. He's hearing you, but he's actually trying to do something bigger than that little thing you are trying to ask him to do. He's got a bigger plan. There's a bigger picture. There are more people involved. There are more destinies that are connected to your destiny. If I take this cup away from you, Jesus, you will be safe. But billions of people will go to hell. So let's look at the bigger picture. Think bigger. Think greater. Think higher than yourself. And some of the things you are going through today as a child of God is not because of you. It's because of the people that are ahead of you. Do you realize that you were ahead of Jesus? Jesus saw you. That's why he went through all he went through. And I pray that you will see the people God has placed ahead of you, and so that you will go through the challenges that he has allowed you to go through without complaining. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read my last verse just to help you understand that the same thing that happened to Jesus in that pressing will also happen to you and me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. Down to 10, the Bible says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. That's the good part. God will allow you to be pressed, but you will never be crushed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. In other words, God never allows even one drop to be higher than what you can bear. Never. He ensures that you can handle it. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Don't you remember the Lord Jesus saying on the cross, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Today, God is telling you that he has never forsaken you. We get down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Hallelujah. Do you know why God allows you from time to time to go through suffering? Because you are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ went through suffering. And from time to time, the body of Christ that is still on earth will go through persecution, will go through all kinds of attacks. But God is with you. You are never alone. You are never forsaken. The same way he rose Jesus from the dead. The Bible says if the Spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the same Spirit, hallelujah, will raise you out of that difficulty, will get you out of that grave that you are finding yourself into today. That grave is not to kill you. That pain is not to destroy you. It is just part of the package. It's part of the package. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, today. Thank you for your work. Thank you for reminding us this morning that all you went through was for us. And all we are going through is for somebody. For somebody. You might not know the person yet. But one day, I promise you, one day you will come across the person why you went through what you went through. It happens to me every day. All the time. Then the Holy Ghost will say, this is why I let you go through that thing. This is why I allowed you to experience that challenge. Because I needed you to have the capacity to be able to speak life with authority to this person that is standing before you right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see the life of God coming to you. Right where you are. God is ministering to somebody. Telling you that you might be pressed, but you are not crushed. Say with me, I am pressed but not crushed. Hallelujah. I'm struck down but I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I pray that this blessed word find full expression in your heart. And that you will remember that these are changes that God takes us through by his mighty Spirit. Sometimes some of those changes become confusing to us and we start even wondering, what have I done? It's not always that you've done something wrong. Sometimes it's that you need to be ready for somebody else. What wrong did Jesus do to be on the cross? Why are we celebrating Good Friday today? What did he do that was wrong? Nothing. He just went on the cross because of you and because of me. And sometimes you will carry that cross because of somebody. And I pray for you today that you will not give up. You will continue standing strong because somebody is waiting for you on the other side of your obedience. Right now, before we close this service, I want to help somebody that is listening to me. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to me all this time. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, because all that Jesus went through was for you, not for him, for you. And all you need to do today is to surrender your heart to him, to open your heart to him, to allow him in your heart. He says in his word, I am at the door of your heart and I knock. If you hear my voice, I will come in. The truth of the matter this morning, church, is that Jesus went through all he went through so that you don't have to go through it. He died so that you might have life and have it more abundantly to the fullness till it overflows. So right now, as you are watching me, maybe you want to give your life to Jesus. Won't you pray this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friend, if you have prayed that prayer, I want you to believe that the Son of God has entered your heart. I want to first thank you for joining me and listening and watching with us this morning, this special service. But I want you to know that something has happened. The work of the Holy Ghost is to bring change in our lives. And that change has happened to you. Please write us a message on Facebook to tell us what God has done. And we will call you back. We will send you a message back. Or we will be, and there's a gift I would like to send to you. You know, I want to send you a gift for, you know, for this decision you have made. And if you are watching this morning and you are a child of God already, be encouraged. What has come to you has not come to destroy you. You know, there is a suffering that is a result of our sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But there is a suffering that is a result of who you are, a child of God. You are part of the body. And as part of the body, there are times where you go through a suffering just like Jesus, not because you did something wrong, but because you are being prepared for something greater. And when that is your case, when you are going through your Good Friday experience, do what Jesus did. Allow the power of God to be manifested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your grace. I pray for you today that you will be strong, that you will go from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from victory to victory. Hallelujah. Right about now, praise the Lord, we're going to partake of the communion. Amen. It is time for the communion, so I want to give you a chance to just prepare the elements if they are ready. You know, I want to give you a chance to distribute them, to give to the people that are sitting with you on the table where you are. Hallelujah. Give them the elements. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to read John chapter 6 verse 53 to 54. The Bible says, then Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them, and I will raise that person at the last day. Jesus is telling us this morning that anyone that eats his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life. Not will have eternal life. Eternal life is not something you have when you die. Eternal life is the Zoe kind of life. It's the life of God coming to you today. And that is the life you need, because that's the life that overcomes this world. So right now, we're going to partake of the communion, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. What he went through, so that we can be where we are today and who we are today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for paying the ultimate price so that we can have life. As we partake of the communion today, Father, we pray that you will minister life to us, eternal life to us. In Jesus' precious name. The Bible therefore says that, for I received from the Lord that which I also passed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We're now going to partake of the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus. And after supper, the Bible says that he took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." That the blood of Jesus is shed for the remission of sins. That throughout the world, whoever believes in the Son of God will not perish. They will have eternal life because of the blood of Jesus. This blood speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. This blood is the proof that God loves you and loves me and died on the cross for us. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God. Thank you so much. I want to thank you all for joining us today once again. Thank you for taking the time. We celebrate you all. And I pray that this is a great weekend of encounters. Even when you stay home, please go back through the scriptures and may God speak to you. And I'm excited to announce to you that tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a live worship that will be led by myself and Pastor Pumi. We'll be leading you through worship, and especially my son is going to be leading us through the communion. So I want you to join us during that time. He's going to be the Israel Pascal. We'll be leading us through the communion tomorrow as well. So join us for that special service from 4 o'clock until 4:30. And then Sunday morning, we're going to have our, you know, a live experience service right here on this same ground again. We'll be terminating our series on loving. We're going to talk about loving ourselves. Hallelujah. So you want to be with us, you want to join us. Till then, this is Pastor Pascal reminding you that we are alive to give life. Therefore, do not waste your life. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.